This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning, and welcome to On the Tee Florida. There, Ben Botham. It is not On the Tee Florida. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We'd be in a world of hurt if On the Tee Florida, which is on Thursdays, had been in this previous spot. If On the Tee Florida was in need of you and I taking care of that content, it'd be two hacks. You think you're very good on this simulator. We are live in the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios in Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, but you're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, where we cover everything in the greater Champa Bay, from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And with me, of course, each and every work week is Ben Botham. He didn't get his love at the intro. I know that crushes your ego on a Saturday. That's why you come down on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, just to hear my name on the radio, Mike.
Exactly. Anyway, I can't hear anything. I've been dealing with this bizarre little bug thing. And it's kind of like when you're on a flight.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hear a damn thing. My voice the other day, I couldn't talk. In fact, it was... It's unique. Let's just say that. I'm rallying.
Well, you said you went to a sauna to get it all out of you, though, right?
Yes, I did. And I'm going to continue going to sauna. Anyway, enough of that. I've got some breaking news. I mean, we got a great show. We're going to talk U.S. Women's World Soccer. We're going to talk, of course, Rowdies with Jim Hart on our next segment. David Wilson, they'll cover the world of soccer. And then we've got John Rieger, who's going to join us with some On the Tee Florida content. He was a high school coach. And you've met John in the conversation with John Rieger. And I'm excited about this. Besides the many hats he's worn in his lifetime, he's been a very successful high school golfer. And high school golf starts right now. You and I were talking about all the sports that are taking place right now, starting their 2023 season.
Yeah, it's the time of the year. Football's back. Golf's back. Everything's back.
What about this sport, though? Bowling. The big announcement, folks, is that right next to me, he is an assistant baseball coach at his alma mater, Seminole. He's a teacher at Seminole, and he is now the first bowling coach for the Seminole Warhawks, and I am so proud to have you in our world now. And I've got some great ideas from the great Lebowski, from
Kingpin,
based out of Iowa. My man, Woody Harrelson.
All I need is a comb over, Mike.
Comb over, you got it. But I told you, I think we need to get you some candy cigarettes.
And some root beer.
And some root beer for all the kids. I'll work on some sponsorship for that. You got the boys and the girls, so gender equity. We'll make sure both sides get the same number of candy cigarettes. And then I'm going to work with my man in Philly where we get all my apparel. Yeah. And you're going to get some old school bowling shirts. And you're going to get a bar support, Nick, because Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
There you go. I'm all over, Mike. Of course.
You can. The rest of Pinellas County will be so jealous of Ben Botham and his gang of boys and girls as they look like they just rolled down a Saturday night at the bowling alley.
Yeah, this is the first year in Pinellas County. I'm not sure if it's the first year for the state of Florida, but bowling is now recognized as a FHSAA sport, and it will be played here in Pinellas County. So I'm very excited for it. And because they've had bowling clubs, bowling teams.
Kind well, of remember, we actually had the state champion from Pinellas, the young lady who is now going to UAB on a bowling scholarship. They exist.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to be doing the recruiting for that, Mike, trying to get my kids scholarships for bowling. It's going
to
be.
Well, turn that over to Coach Schenk. He's the one that found the bowling. The bowling scholarship for this young lady. She's going to major in nursing. And it was a great story. And she's been golfing. See, I still think we're on the Tee Florida. She's been bowling since she's about 5 or 6 years old, and they have scholarship programs. This is a good tip for you, Coach. They have scholarship programs that if they are participating in leagues, youth leagues, kids' leagues, and number of points participating at the bowling alley, It goes towards scholarship money in a lot of schools. So there's a little tip for you.
Hey, that'll be part of my recruiting strategy.
Exactly.
To try out for the team.
All right. So we're going to talk, as I said, we'll talk a little pro football, Hall of Fame. Of course, Ron Day Barber went in on Thursday night. Tonight, the actual ceremony is today. And he's just an absolute class act. I know as a lifelong Rays and Bucks fan that you have been following Ron Day, and he's just a class act, he and his brother.
Oh, yeah. We got some great talent that's going into the Hall of Fame. I'm very excited for it. Did you watch the Hall of Fame game, though, Mike? It's hard to watch.
It's preseason, you clown. It's the first game. Who cares?
I know, but at least preseason baseball, you can follow along. Sure, you got number, 67 out there. That doesn't make any sense. He doesn't have a name on the back of his jersey, but, it feels a little bit more competitive. It doesn't feel like two-hand touch like the Pro Bowl or like these preseason.
No, the early games aren't like that because you got, especially the early games, you got cats trying to make that roster.
Sure.
Or get recognized by some other club. And so they're out there doing, they're going 1,000 miles an hour where a veteran might be trying to take it easy. And there's a lot of issues many times regarding that. Like, hey, back off. I don't blame the guy that's busting his ass and wants to make a name for himself because that's his short little window.
Mm-hmm. That's his one chance, his one opportunity. Why not take it?
We are brought to you by, of course, our good friends at Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages. I want to thank them. We had a spectacular Saturday down here. We're going to have Brad Richardson on a little bit later on to break down as we had 20 teams down here from 10 till 3 last Saturday. You were here, made a cameo appearance. I appreciated that. The kids loved it. We had the U.S. Marines in the house. It was just it was a wonderful Saturday down at Ferg's, and it inspired us that now, and you just brought it up, your athletic director at Seminole wanted to know why we don't do a basketball. Well, we're going to do basketball, boys and girls. We're going to do baseball, softball. We're going to do girls volleyball. We are going to do golf. John Rager had a great idea. We're going to do coaches and maybe a clinic to kick off their season. Tee it off. So there's all kind of things we're going to be doing. But right now, why don't we dive into the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill from the front row. A little conversation on the Rays victors last night.
Yeah, very excited about that. The Rays are finally bouncing back after that last month that we
did
had.
You take back everything you said in July?
No, I do not.
I thought about you the entire time. Here they are rallying, and I wondered if your negative attitude has softened a bit.
I will say I'm excited by the trades that they made. It wasn't as large as I was hoping. I will say that. I was hoping for a little bit more. But, the Rays did pick up the great, starter for the Cleveland Guardians. Where did his name go? I just had it right here. Rays bouncing back. I had it just a second ago. Mike, help me out here. Do you remember the guy's name? Was it Rays trade?
Alex.
One more time.
Aaron Civale. Thank God we got
my
main man Joe Geiger, and he's going to start being a board op, by the way, and he will be contributing, and he is a walking encyclopedia of sports information.
Yeah. Aaron Civale, I think that's a good pickup. He's got a 2.60 ERA dating back to July 8th, 2022, and it's the sixth best mark among pitchers who have worked at least 120 innings. He's a great pitcher. But what I am nervous about is he's injury prone, like a majority of our starting rotation.
Well, we got that Cracker Jack training staff that's kept people healthy the last couple of years and made the All-Star team.
Oh yeah, he's doing real well. But when you look at the starting line or the pitching rotation that we had to start the season, we have McClanahan, Glasnow, Eflin, Springs, and Drew Rasmussen, and now half those guys, if not more, are all on the IL or out for the whole season, That's still worrisome to me. We have guys stepping up, sure. We have guys, relievers that are coming in and actually transitioning to be kind of a real starter for us and eating up some good innings, which is good. And I'm excited for that. But I'm still nervous about the bats, even though we did have some really good performances by guys like Wander Franco, both on the field and, at the plate. But yeah, at this point, when you have such a team like the Orioles, who are just dominant over every team they play.
We were the same way at the beginning of the season.
We certainly were.
And we're staring them right in the face and battling. It just happens to be that every night that we're successful, so are the Orioles. Last night, I thought it was 2-2. They're playing the hapless New York Mets. And I thought, here we go. We're going to gain a game. Well, the final score, as I dozed off, 10-2. Well, here's a little factoid about our new pickup, though. he gets his first start today, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what his record is against the Tigers?
No clue.
Ten starts, 7-0.
Hey, that's not too shabby there, Mike. But remember, didn't we also sweep the Tigers at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, the opener. How would you like to be a Tigers fan? They had all kinds of hopes at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think they're, just kind of fizzling out. I mean, there's a lot of teams like that right now in this league. I mean, look at the White Sox. The White Sox, the Dodgers have their whole pitching rotation now.
Well, I think that might have been an inside move. Maybe a guy had previously been in the front office for the White Sox. That's how a lot of those deals go down. We'll see in time.
Because I think that dampened some of the Rays, trade hopes. I think they were definitely going after some of the White Sox there. And not saying that they got stuck with the guy from the Guardians, but, I do think that they were more interested in guys from the White Sox or a guy like Shohei Ohtani. But
all right, well, let's talk about, hey, Joe, get us this name. The rookie from Australia that got his first hit last night. Pull his name up for me real quick. Mead? Ben Mead.
Ben Mead, good name.
Ben Mead from Australia.
From Australia.
Yes, and he got his first hit last night. His family's actually flying into Detroit to see him start tonight. A lot of people question why he is they're calling him up because he'll only be playing against left-handers. But at this point, I don't doubt Kevin Cash. You're not a Kevin Cash fan, but that front office and Kevin Cash. You just mentioned all of those injuries, and the rotation and the starting lineup we've had all season long, and they still have the third best record in the bigs.
Yeah, I have no doubt in Kevin Cash's ability to be a manager. I think that he knows what he's doing. I think that sometimes he outcoaches himself by focusing too much on analytics and pitch counts and stuff like that. You gotta allow these guys to go out there. You have to have a little bit of baseball feel, and I think that's something Kevin Cash lacks. I think he lacks the in-game situations. Oh, I have a feeling that this guy is going to get a hit. Let's put somebody in for a pinch hit. He doesn't have that ability or the ability to say we need to lay down a bunt, play some small ball. It seems like he is so bought into analytics that it does hamper the team, especially when you look at us in the postseason. In the postseason, it's just not great. Kevin Cash, though, I was a little bit nervous about him losing faith in the dugout. We saw Wander Franco struggling. We saw Randy Arozarena. A lot of these guys all kind of, struggling with each other. And it was really unfortunate to see that. Right now, we do see Wander bouncing back. He made two amazing double plays, though, the other day. And that was spectacular to see. I was very, very excited about that. So I think
that we've seen a change on this road trip that they got very businesslike.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see the antics. Even when Randy Arozarena came out of his slump with that home run, just a brief stop at third, crossed his arms, looked at the Yankee fans, fingered them all, and then headed for home plate. Well, he didn't finger them all, but essentially that was what he was doing. But very, 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 very businesslike, I think, is that.
Yeah, but the Rays had a lot of great stuff so far, coming into August. Tyler Glasnow had his third straight 7-inning gem, beating the Yankees 5-1. This is their first or consecutive series victories for them since early June. You saw Dykeman, he put together a 2.45 ERA in 28 appearances for the Rays, and Stevenson with a 2.79 mark in 21 outings. And Tyler Glasnow, of course, being named the pitcher of the month. It's great seeing this, that the Rays are finally starting to get back into their groove. I am still a little bit hesitant. I am worried because those problems still exist. I don't know if they truly addressed the problems yet, and that's to be seen.
We'll talk about that, you and I, another in the next hour. We'll go into a little more detail where everything lays out in the league, where we are in the wild card. We've got a five-game lead in the wild card race. We'll talk of the teams on the outside looking in. And then another thing, it's insurance in Durham, of course, is Bradley going down. We know that he can make a difference. He's spotty at time at 22 years of age, but the guy is a tremendous athlete. And so it's kind of nice when we have that insurance.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I was kind of happy to see Taj Bradley move down to.
I know you're not a fan, but think about what he was put into when in the injuries. No, they rushed him up And I thought that, especially his first game, he was very impressive. All right, well, it's time to switch to the other round ball that we talk about each and every Saturday here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And that, of course, is the great game of soccer that's at the forefront of viewing across the world right now with the Women's FIFA World Championships taking place in New Zealand and Australia. And I know that Jim Hart probably has had some sleep deprivation during this period of time. How are you, man?
Hey, what's happening, Mike?
Yeah, guys like you, the godfather of soccer, and now it's quickly becoming the state of Florida as you expand your reach. Guys like you probably set the alarm, and it's kind of like me in the world of golf. We when it's anything overseas, we certainly get up at 3-4 in the morning and watch that, and I'm sure you're one of those fans, those fanatic fans, because you have such passion.
Heck yeah. And, you know, I think it was really interesting, the discussion you were just having about Kevin Cash and the way he sees the game situations, or maybe doesn't see them. I think there's a real parallel there between that and what's happening with the U.S. Women's National Team right now. I think we see ourselves as something that we're not. We're not the best team. But that doesn't mean we can't win. But it's almost like in the case of the point about Kevin Cash is, what are the analytics telling me, but what are my own lying eyes telling me? And sometimes you gotta listen to your own lying eyes, and you gotta read the situation. The United States can win, but they need to change the way they see themselves, and they need to approach games tactically, sort of more with more humility. Not we're the best and we're gonna run over people. But we've got to take care of business. We've got to cover the right parts of the field. We've got to understand who we are and who we aren't. And then we've got to play to our strengths and away from our weaknesses. I think that's happening right now.
You should come on and talk about baseball more often. I like the sound of this.
Yeah, Jim, Ben's over here. Baseball Ben Botham's over here smiling ear to ear with your analysis, because that's exactly how he feels about the Rays. And I was going to chime in to your observation, which is spot on in my opinion. This team, they need to quit reading the clippings of how great they are. They need to quit reading the clippings of what they've accomplished in the past. They need to quit reading the clippings about how incredible this nucleus of new talent is. They really essentially haven't really accomplished anything else. And then the mature players that have been there, they need the ones that get grounded. And as you said, look themselves in the mirror. And that's a tough thing to do in today's world, all this media. But there's a lot of people coming out and are very, very disappointed in this team, I would assume.
Yeah, I think so. I'm one of them. And the leadership group within the group, it begins with humility. It begins with your own outlook on things. When people start looking at themselves as something that they aren't, something better than they actually are, then you underlying principles creep into everything that you do that go against you. But if you have that humility, respect for the opponent, that respect for the moment, and that sort of self-awareness of what you can do and what you can't do, that respect for the opponent is a big part of it too. That's the starting point from which victory can be achieved. But if you don't start there, you've missed the starting gun. You're not going to get there. I think that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, and as you look at this team, the body language when they're playing, Jim, can you see that? I can't, because I'm just reading all these accounts, trying to be able to supply some semblance of knowledge for you. But when we're having our conversations, but just the body language, the chemistry, just doesn't seem to be here with this team.
No, I agree. And you know, did you follow the story of Carly Lloyd's criticism of the team?
Yeah, absolutely. And now she's backtracking a little bit, and I thought she was spot on.
So did I. I'm going to share an anecdote with you, Mike, who was shared with me by a potential future guest of our program here. This potential future guest is a college soccer coach, and they were hosting the U.S. Women's National Team for practices at their facility. The national team showed up, and don't you know, Alex Morgan forgot her cleats at the hotel. And they asked the college program, did he have a pair of cleats for her? They didn't. One of the players actually gave up her own cleats, happened to wear the same size. Did Alex Morgan take the time to say thank you or show appreciation? No, she didn't. But guess what? It was Carly Lloyd, and it was the only one that did this, that came over, spoke to the players, expressed gratitude for them helping them out, and took a picture with them and showed them the respect necessary that the situation demanded. And so I think that really is it in a nutshell right there.
You know, without getting into politics, but I'm big, you know how I close every show, God bless you and God bless America. It infuriates me that some of the older players have indoctrinated their beliefs and impacted the youth that came on board. They didn't have that opinion until they joined the U.S. Team, which is nauseating, and I think they should be ashamed. And I read a column in the New York Post, and you know, it's not a liberal publication by any stretch of the imagination, but this was just a snapshot of America, and here you are, blessed to be on that stage representing the red, white, and blue, and you've allowed your own hatred or dislike of our government to impact how you represent this great country on the world stage. And it just bothers me to no end.
You speak for millions, Mike. And, you know, here's a protest that I could respect. Okay. So let's say these players feel this strongly about America. Okay. Decline your position on the national team as a form of protest. I could respect that. I
could never
agree with it. I'm exactly right. And that just uncovers the lack of authenticity in the decision to take the jersey, to take the all that comes with it, all the positives that come with it, and then to couple that side by side with standing there looking down or whatever the case may be. I had somebody the other day who's not a soccer fan say, you know, I'm not a soccer fan, but aren't you supposed to stand up straight and tall for the national anthem?
Well, you know, if we want to look at history, recent history, do you think these young ladies, and I think Ben would agree with me, would have learned something from the Brittany Griner situation? She had that attitude until she was in a Russian prison for 10 months, 9.5 months. And when she came back, she sure as heck, the first time the national anthem at a WNBA game, she stood up and recognized the flag and the anthem. And I would have thought that maybe that would have got through some of these people who don't understand the meaning behind it. It's infuriating. I didn't mean to divert it, but that's part of the problem.
No, it is.
Part of the problem, in my opinion, is this.
I really do.
It's a big problem.
I really agree. I think it's part because it's all part of that same underlying beginning premise of where's your head at, and what are you expecting out of this endeavor? And you need to come in with humility, with no expectations that you have to work your butt off and everything else has to fall into place. You have to show the proper amount of respect, decorum, effort, all of it. And if your head's in that place, then you can beat teams that are better than you. And the thing is, there's a good 10 teams that can win the World Cup. And a number of them do have all those attributes I just mentioned.
Well, 5 a.m. tomorrow, they take on Sweden. And that might be a one and done for them. After that, they would meet Japan. Japan successful to advance, which I think is the first in quite some time. But, the reality is, this might be the last time we see them on this stage at 5 a.m. I'm sure you'll be sure you'll have your bacon and eggs and that full breakfast rocking and rolling and all the televisions on.
Well, David Wilson is a perfect example of the kind of coach that orders priorities. When you watch his Wildgrass Ranch High School team play, for example, players have no question about what they're there for, what's important, what isn't important. And you can see it in everything they do. And this is what winning programs have. And this is what we need. It's never too late.
What we're efforting, David, as we speak, and I We haven't had any success there. Is he still traveling?
That's okay.
I think he may still be traveling. Hey, anyway, let's talk positive things. Okay, so what have you been up to since we haven't had you on for a couple of weeks? We had a great high school event last Saturday down here. We had 20 high schools down for our media day. The coaches loved it. We're getting great reports back from the ADs. They want us to do it in all sports. I had a conversation with you. We're going to get something comparable with the boys and the girls. Of course, we've got the Champions League. We're very blessed to have that relationship. But I'm looking forward to advancing the concept of having media days down here at Ferg's.
That's fantastic. And you know, it's the Champions League can give a focus point to something like a media day and to high school soccer in general. You know, the problem with high school sports, especially non-football, football's kind of focused. It's always on a Friday night. You always know when people are playing. But in the other sports, the games could be happening anywhere, anytime, any day except Sunday. But the thing about the Champions League is there's a focus point. Match day one is November 14th. Everybody's playing on that day. You know, so that will help. And what we're doing, Mike, you asked what we're doing lately. During the off season, we really spread our wings and talk to people. You know, we had our St. Louis friends on, John Walsh from South Florida. There's people interested in this, Mike, right now in Cleveland, Chicago, Dallas, Iowa, and Nebraska. And I know Iowa's going to excite you. So when we move the thing along, we'll definitely get you involved in all those things. But as we get closer, go ahead.
No, I said I look forward to that.
Yeah, as we get closer to the high school season, David and I, from our perspective as Champions League people, we're bringing our focus now back here to the Tampa Bay area. Actually, on August 23rd, we're going to hold a Zoom meeting that is going to be open and available to any high school boys or girls coach in the three-county area. And the purpose of that Zoom meeting is just going to bring everybody up to speed on the Champions League. What's happening, what we're doing, what it looks like in the coming year, the role the Rowdies are going to play in the future of the Champions League, what's happening in other parts of the country, so that every high school coach knows what's going on and can talk, you know, with intelligence about what's going on. So that's our next big thing, that August 23rd Zoom meeting. And in the meantime, Terry Vanderbeck is out there. You know, he's going to be with us on August 26th on our show here. And Terry's fulfilling his role as National Ambassador in the Champions League. He's talking to lots of people around the country. And again, Terry's a total volunteer, doesn't get any money. None of us do. We're just spreading this idea of, you know, what high school soccer can be. I think it's an idea that can be picked up by other sports, actually, but that's another conversation. But that's what we're doing. We're just out there spreading the good, positive word about high school soccer, and especially through the focus point of the Champions League.
Well, these conversations are always brought to you by Coca-Cola, Florida Beverages, our great friends at Body Armor, and the Tampa Bay Rowdies, our ticket giveaway to the high schools. And we'll have to find some coaches to give them out for next week, because they're right in the hunt. In fact, tonight they're in Pittsburgh, a big game against Pittsburgh, the Rowdies. And if the Rowdies win, that puts them in first place in the Eastern Conference. And I think maybe the interim will go off of Nick. I'm not sure, but he appears to be doing a superb job. Big shoes to fill, you know, losing Neil Collins, going back across the pond to his home country. But the Rowdies are right in the midst of it.
Yes, they are. And I was really happy to see that last result where they won that game 3-0 at home. Can't think of his name right now.
Nick.
Nicky is great. I think he's going to do a good job. He's not as experienced as Neil, and he's got to get his feet wet in the job. Jumping in midseason can't be easy. It can't be easy to take over a team that's, you know, humming so well on all cylinders. You might think that would be easy, but anybody that knows anything about putting a team together in any sport, you know that keeping that team humming on all cylinders is a fine balance, and just a little bit of a slippage could affect everything. And that can start with the head coach. And I think they did slip for a couple games, but I was really pleased to see how they played in the last game. That was exciting. Tonight's going to be a major test in Pittsburgh. Tough place to play, really good opponent. It'll be really interesting to watch how they perform tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. We need to get you to. Have you been to a game this year?
I have. I was at Neil's final game.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting down there. They're in town again next week. You and I can wrap that up. So your thoughts on tonight's game, U.S. and Sweden?
Two things can happen. If the team that's been out there playing shows up with the same poor attitude, this is going to be our last game. But if they rediscover them, if they look at the situation, the way I see it is, you've got to first think about stopping the opponent. The U.S. has never worried about that as a first principle. Their first principle has always been, you need to stop us. But if you take the attitude, first, we've got to stop this Swedish juggernaut. Second, we've got to understand where and how we can score a goal and where we should try to score a goal. There's a certain way the U.S. can play that will be really effective, will really work. Remember, we've only allowed one goal scored in the first three games. So there's something to build on there. And if we take this attitude, this idea that the only thing that matters is that we stop Sweden and that we score at least one goal and get across the finish line, that would give us a chance to get through this game and all the other games. We could still wind up the winner, but it all starts with how we approach the game and what our attitude is, tactically and every other way.
Well, his name is Nicky Law, by the way.
Nicky Law, yes.
But before we let you go, as a Hall of Fame coach, I need you to give young Ben Botham here some tips. I don't know if you got the news yet. It'll probably be on all the sports broadcasts.
Oh, I'm sure.
But this sport of bowling has finally been picked up by Pinellas County as a competitive sport that's underwritten. And young Ben Botham, at 24 years of age, he's an assistant baseball coach. He's a teacher at his alma mater. He is the first bowling coach at Seminole, the Warhawks, the boys and the girls. And I want you to give him some tips on building a program there. And any little tidbits you could send his way there, Jim.
That is so awesome. Oh, my God. Well, Ben, you've played high school sports, and you know that what it has to be first a special experience. Forget the sport. It just has to be something that kids love being a part of. You know this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Always got to make it special for the kids. It's always the little things that the kids remember the most.
Yes, it is. The bus rides, the little things, ordering pizza, those little things can... This is, again, I go back to David Wilson. This is really his bread and butter. He's all about you take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. And I know that's an old tried and true piece of wisdom, but there's a reason why things are old pieces of wisdom, because they stay around, because they work. And if you do that, if people are happy to see you, Coach Ben, yes, can't wait to get to bowling. I think you're taking care of 90% of the issues right there. But I'm excited. You know, there's a national champion in Pinellas County bowler, under 15. She's a girl. Her name is Carly Rhodes, and
We had Carly on the show.
No way! That is so cool.
Yeah, we've had several bowlers on board, and there are scholarships out there for these kids because one of the young ladies is going to UAB on a scholarship.
That is so awesome. Well, Carly, listen to this, Mike. A little fun fact: her mother and I used to be PE teammates, coaching teammates at Lelman Avenue Elementary School in St. Pete. Jennifer Rhodes, and she's still a PE teacher. Jennifer is. Carly is something. Bowling, man, I'm so excited that they're starting bowling. That is awesome.
Hey, real quick, you know me. I always got to throw a little humor into it. I want him to get the kids behind him. So you know, the world of bowling sometimes gets tarnished with the great Lebowski and Kingpin. So I'm suggesting, and I can get this done at Sea Dogs Brewing. They make their own root beer and candy cigarettes for the kids, and then I'll get some. Some old school bowling shirts for him. I'm going to get that done. And you got to have a bar on your, you know, sponsorship. Well, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Oh, so the kids will love that. They'll be identified as the cool kids and with cool coach Ben Botham. What do you think?
You are a genius. That is brilliant. Everybody's going to you could sell the merchandise, those shirts. Everybody's going to want one.
Exactly. Old school. All right, brother. I got to take a break. Come back and talk a little golf with John Rager. Thanks for everything. I'll talk to you Monday or Tuesday. Now that I can actually talk and I can hear, I'll be getting a hold of you on Monday or Tuesday. Sound good?
All the best, guys. Take care.
That's Jim Hart. He is the president. He's the CEO. He is the godfather of soccer in the great state of Florida. We'll be back with John Rager, who is our go-to on the tee, Florida, and we're going to talk a little high school golf. We'll be right back live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our 19th hole clubhouse studios since we opened up as on the tee, Florida. We'll be right back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Champa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sports and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA Sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront root pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection / On the Tee, Florida, because of our next segment brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka and, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, serving breakfast daily, world-class breakfast, and, of course, Shipyard Brewing. And typically, we have a conversation with John Rager on Saturdays. We've now moved it to Thursdays, but I didn't realize that Mr. Rager also had a deep background in the world of high school golf, and he's kind enough to join us. What's going on, my man?
Well, it's really great. In fact, I'm reporting to you from an undisclosed location in Gainesville, Florida, meeting with an undisclosed person on an undisclosed subject matter. So I just appreciate being on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection today, a little crossover time. from On the Tee Florida. For our listeners out there, just in case you want to check things out for golf, the John Regg Reports on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you go to ontheteefloridagolf.com, you'll be able to see all that and see what we do on Thursday nights, the great fun we have down at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Which we absolutely love. One of the things, though, we haven't touched upon enough of is the world of high school golf. You and I talked about it yesterday, and all of a sudden you started sharing this information. Let's go over your high school. The people listening on the T Florida know your deep talents and your history in the world of PGA golf and running courses and broadcaster. But let's talk about your high school background. That's impressive, my friend.
Well, you'll find if you look into high school golf, PGA golf professionals have had a long history of supporting high school golf, either hosting high school golf teams at their courses or actually being high school coaches themselves. I know in the St. Pete area, Tampa Bay area, you have Pat and Bill Shriver, who own Cove K, are also high school coaches for local high school there. So with me, like every other PGA golf professional, we're huge supporters of high school golf. In fact, you mentioned success in the golf business. Yeah, PGA of America, we're one badge, many roles. And many roles I have had is developing, owning, and operating golf courses and syndicated radio and a lot of really fun things I've been able to do in my life. But the most rewarding thing I've ever done was coach high school golf. I think that's probably every PGA golf professional, if you have the opportunity to get out there and do it, you should do it. A lot of the coaches sometimes are faculty members that, you know, they might teach chemistry at high school or whatever. They might not be golfers, but high schools in general now have been gravitating towards the local golf courses that host the teams, the PGA golf professionals that run and operate them. And it's been a great marriage. So, you know, I just want to give you a little bit of background in high school golf. So, I was able to coach the St. Francis Academy. It's a Catholic high school up in Gainesville, Florida, and we had some success up there. You know, we won two district championships. I was coach of the year, and I had the golfer of the year. And I went ahead and had to go build a golf course for a multi-billionaire, so I had to give that up. But when my contract was done and I went back into doing other things, I was had the good fortune of coaching the Oak Hall Girls golf team. And one of the things about high school golf, it's different than just your junior tournament. There's a contrast there. Sure, there are some of the greatest junior golfers out there that play high school golf, and they play you know, the junior tours out there, the AJGA, and a whole bunch of junior tours around. But Scholastic golf's a little different in the fact that all kids play. It's not just relegated to the superstars. It's a developmental thing. So it's a lot of kids get their first chance even to play golf, and we ran a developmental program. You know, we took all comers in there, and you know, I coached the girls' golf team to three district titles, and I had some players on the team that were just beginning golfers, and then we had players on the team that were fantastic golfers, and one of them is somebody that's our biggest fan of On the Tee Florida, Wild Bill Stereau. His daughter Ellie was one of my top players. She was the captain of the team, and she went on to Florida Gulf Coast University, and she'll end up being a PGA golf professional one day. So the scholastic approach, the developmental approach, is what high school golf is all about. And for our listeners out there, if you want to follow it, you can go to the FHSAA, which is the Florida High School Activity Association.com, and they actually have an app, and you can pay for it, and you can actually follow your teams. In fact, I was doing a little research into the local St. Pete teams, and they rank all the teams. You know, there's 439 high school teams in the state of Florida, and the closest team I could find to the Ferg Sports Bar and on the Tee Florida studio, Ice Pick Studios, is the St. Petersburg Green Devils, and they actually last year were ranked 52nd out of 439 teams out there, high school teams, and this is all classes. Yeah, for just so you know that. And you know this because of your great work with high school football and basketball. What a great media day you had the other day. We had all the football players from 25 high schools in Tampa Bay area to come on the show and you know, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and talk football in the media day and get all the current players on there. You know, high school sports is something that's a passion for a lot of people, just like myself, with high school golf, and give them the recognition. So you can see where teams are ranked out there. So the St. Pete Green Devils, even though you have it.
The Green Devils are 56th in the state. That's impressive. Well, dentist finished runner-up in the state.
Yeah, actually, I looked at the stats from last year. They're 52nd out of 439 teams out there. So I'm going to keep an eye on the St. Pete Green Devils since they're just down the street from our Ferg Sports Bar Ice Pick on the T Florida Studios, and going to keep I'll drop that team this year and keep a look at them. So again, you know, high school golf is something that a lot of parents and a lot of the community do get involved with. I know my time in Gainesville with St. Francis and with Oak Hall, the parents are unbelievable supporters of their kids out there playing, because again, it's all comers. You know, the junior tours out there, yeah, there's an elite junior tour like the HAGA, and there's and a lot of the junior tours only have the best kids, but high school golf, you have all the kids. And there's some teams out there, quite frankly, that you know aren't very good. They even have a stroke limit when you play high school golf. It might be 8 on a hole because you have a lot of golfers that are just now getting into the game of golf. But just like Ellie, just like her little sister, Ava Sturro, and those kind of kids coming up, it's a wonderful experience, and they end up playing golf as a lifetime. In fact, I got to give one more loving note out to one of the Sturro kids. They seem to be the golfing family now with their backyard golf with their 15 acres. But young Will Sturro is shooting phenomenal scores all of a sudden in junior tournaments in the North Florida area. He's finishing first and second, shooting in the low 70s. So there's yet another Sturro we're going to be talking about in high school golf coming up. But I can tell you that every team has a golf mom, and Deanna Sturro was our golf mom when I was the coach. So this is a story that can be repeated and told amongst high school golf. I want to tell our listeners out there, though, to please, if you're out there in the fall, not the spring, they used to have high school golf in the spring, and in the spring, it would clog up the golf courses when all the tourists are trying to play. In the springtime, especially in the Tampa Bay area, that's when they ring the cash registers. That's when you have to make sure you maximize the amount of revenue. And the high school golfers to show up, you know, take a lot of time to play. And some golf courses would host three or four teams. And so they moved it to the fall, which was a great move. That move was probably, gosh, almost 20 years ago when they did it. So if you happen to be out on a fall afternoon, which is a great time to play, and you see these high school golfers, show some patience, because not only are they the best players, but they're also just learning how to play, some of them. And just go hit some balls or play the other nine or something like that when you see them, and let them play, because high school golf is something that truly does grow the game of golf.
Or if you're a hack like me, try to recruit them into your foursome to carry you. Hey, couple of things before I let you go. I don't know if you've been listening to the show. You're a busy man.
I have been.
Oh, well, you know, we had that breaking news, and nobody more to ask than you. We just asked the great Jim Hart for tips to this young new coach, Ben Botham, of the bowling team. He's going to be developing his own program, the first program in the history of the proud Seminole Nation. And I'm going to get some Shipyard root beer, Uncle Eli's root beer for the kids. I'm going to go to the candy shack, the sugar shack, and get some candy cigarettes, and then I'm going to have my old-fashioned, my buddy get some old-fashioned bowling shirts, and he'll make a splash, and the kids are going to love him just with that. What kind of things like that did you ever do to your golf team? Yeah, I see in 2014 you're wearing the trademark John Rager hat. I mean, going back to, you know, now going back 9 years.
Well, I was born with that hat on, so it just kind of, I had to get it surgically removed when I started growing a little bit, because my head wasn't able to fit into the hat I had. But no, that hat is actually, it's just something I've always worn all my life. In fact, you know, one of the reasons I wore the hat was when Arnold Palmer was getting late in his regular PGA Tour career, and he started on the Champions Tour, he wore a hat like that. And I thought, you know, he's one of the coolest human beings on the planet Earth that I've ever met and emulated. And he just wore a hat like that. You know, I said, my golly, I'm going to wear a hat like that. In fact, it was kind of funny. George Lopez, the comedian, I spent 25 years as the announcer starter at the first tee at the Champions Tour in Tampa Bay. And so they always had celebrities play with the pros because it was a pro-am format. And George Lopez came up to me because I wore the hat out there as the starter. And, yeah, I've got my sport coat on, and I've been passing out the scorecards and introducing and, you know, announcing all the players. He comes up to me and he goes, hey, Indiana Jones, where's my scorecard? So I've always worn that hat. I've always had that. It's always been a hat of mine. But you know what? It also, fortunately, you know, just like, and all of our young golfers out there, if you're listening, and all of our listeners out there, when you're young, wear that sunscreen. You know, I've had quite a bit of skin cancer and a lot of different opportunities to get it cut out and stuff like that. But a hat like that probably has probably saved my life, because I'm sure I would have had it much worse if I didn't have my head covered. So, hey, those hats are cool. But I don't, you know, in fact, you can wear a hat like that bowling. And I was really impressed with the fact that you're going to have candy cigarettes for the kids. I'm not sure if that's a cancelable event out there in the world, but I'm pretty excited about Ben and his bowling team. And but we definitely, the bowling shirts are so cool. Even, you know, we'll make Guy Fieri out of all these bowlers out there. We'll get them to dye their hair blonde and spike it out and put a bowling shirt on, and they'll be the coolest high school bowling team in all North America.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll vouch for the candied cigarettes, but I'll definitely be sure to show them plenty of Pete Weber videos, letting them know how the game's meant to be played.
and maybe some team bonding with Kingpin.
One thing I want to say while I have this time on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, I want to put a plug in for a Florida Sports Hall of Fame celebrity bowling event. It's going to be down in Green Acres, Florida, which is actually in the Palm Beach area, and it's going to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Palm Beach County. And we have all these celebrities that are coming. In fact, our own Barry Smith is coming down there to be a celebrity. But we've got, if you go to Florida Sports Hall of Fame on the web, just type in Florida Sports Hall of Fame, you'll see it'll take you right to the Google version of the website, which is flasportshof.org. We actually have a celebrity bowling event. Bowling has become super cool, especially with the celebrities, and we're going to raise a lot of money for kids. You can still get into that. Teams aren't that expensive. So we're going to have a celebrity bowling classic with our Florida Sports Hall of Fame enshrined members and some outside celebrities that are very, very notable.
We're going to have a phone conversation from there as well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'll let you go enjoy the rest of your Saturday, my friend. You thought you had them off until I called you and begged for a segment. But now we know we have a new segment. And we're going to get the Green Devils down here in August or early September to talk a little high school golf. And
I've adopted the Green Devils. The Green Devils are my team this year. I'm going to follow them on the I Want to Maker app and the High School Sports Activity Association app, and I'm going to follow them. They don't even know who in the hell I am, but I'm gonna follow them and be a big boost for the St. Pete Green Devils. What a cool historic building they also go to high school in.
I'm looking at the Green Devils logo because Jake Ferguson, Mark's son, graduated from St. Pete. So plenty of love down here. We'll do that, my friend. Tell your lovely bride, Karen, I said hello, and have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks for being on today. Thank you.
He's John Rager, and we got to come up. We're going to get this done, Coach. I mean, you're going to be a social. I'm going to have Joe do all the social media. You're going to become a social media phenom. Your team, people are going to want to be on your team because of the cool stuff. And I'm not giving up on this.
Hey, I'm not willing for it.
Jim Hart just texted me, and he's a conservative guy. He goes, the bowling shirt is a brilliant idea for the team.
Hey, I've been talking about it. I was talking to my athletic director. I said, we got to find a way to make this happen because I'm really excited. I'm ready to pour all my talent into it. I'm going to be doing a lot of research, trying to figure out what I need to do to be a good, upstanding bowling coach. And
we'll probably go a little far with the candy cigarettes. However,
the root beer we could
do. We are going to get the Eli's root beer that is made by our good friends at Sea Dogs and Shipyard Brewing. They've got, I told you before, and I have bottles of it in my fridge. They've got cream soda, but the root beer is to die for. So we'll be getting some 4-packs. And it's old school. They're in bottles.
Oh, I like the sound of that, Mike.
So we'll do a little promo for him, holding Eli's root beer, getting ready to hit the lanes.
There you go.
All right, we're gonna have a blast.